felt the ache of emptiness this world could not relieve. My heart has lived in poverty that no one else could see, until I found the sweet restoring stream that changed my life. He called to me, come and drink, and my need was satisfied. My God will always be enough for the longings of my soul. He alone can fill my cup till my spirit overflows from a well of living water. He renews me with his love. The road seems so uncertain. My God will go with me. My God will always be enough for the longings of my soul. He alone
to me this morning. Amen. Let's let the musicians go ahead and have their seats. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord. I turned out a lot different than what I thought it was going to be this morning, but amen. Really blesses my heart to see all the saints come in, and even in the midst of adversity and trial and trouble and things getting in the way, to see them press on and just be here in the house of God anyway. It really blesses my heart. thank the Lord for being in the midst of this assembly, being in the hearts of His people, that are willing to put their shoulders to the wheel and keep pushing on, keep pressing on. So good to us. We want to open up our Bibles to Genesis chapter 13. I don't know if this will last very long this morning. This don't happen very often, but after I got to church this morning, I was here, you know, messing with getting the place warmed up, and felt like the Lord had kind of turned me in a different direction. So I just jotted down a few notes, handwritten, and we're just going to do that. So, amen. Okay? So, I'm going to title this morning, Walk Through the Land, and then Fight for What's Yours. Amen. Genesis chapter 13, and we'll begin reading at verse 14. It says, And the Lord said unto Abraham, After that Lot was separated from him, lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward. So he tells Abraham, he says, I want you to look in every direction from where you're at right now. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Imagine what that'd be if he was up on Magazine Mountain looking out. You know what I mean? But I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. I'm going to ask you a question. Is it possible to number the dust of the earth? I don't think so. He said man. God can tell you the number, right? But man. Arise and walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Amen. And we'll just pray just for a moment and then let you be seated. We'll have some more scripture reading later on. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we just thank you, Lord, for having the provisions for your people today. Lord, that's the great provider, the great shepherd. Lord, for your sheep and watching over them. And Lord, nothing can escape your eyesight and your watching over. Lord, you look out and you see exactly what the enemy does and what his purpose is and what he's trying to accomplish. And Lord, you always head him off and cut him off before he has opportunity to do anything that will last. As you said in your word, Lord, there's no weapon that's formed against us that will prosper. And we thank you for that this morning. And so as we stand in this place, Lord, knowing that no weapon that the enemy would send our way can reach us, we stand in that spot this morning, knowing that we're blessed by your blessings. Then, Lord, we approach you this morning in worship and in praise and in reception of your word. We thank you, Lord, as your people and receive these things. And we just want to give back to you now this morning that which you deserve, Lord, and that is a believing heart and obedience to those words. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. So you find out in the scriptures, we know that God had called Abraham out of land of many gods and had promised him and told him he would give to him this land. And we call it promised land. I'm not probably not going to talk about anything you haven't heard somewhere, even for me maybe, but we pray that the Lord will just take these thoughts and arrange them in such a way that it'll help you see a little bit differently this morning. So God had told Abraham, here's this land that I'm giving to you, and I want you to walk through this land, and I want you to cover it through the breadth of it and through the width of it or the depth of it or however it was that we just said it. So God told him, I want you to cover every inch of this territory is what I'm trying to get to. And so he tells him to do that. And so I think personally that he was telling Abraham this because remember he told Abraham, you're not Abram anymore, you're Abraham. You are going to be a father of nations. You're going to have offspring. There's going to be so many of them that they will not be able to number them, neither from the dust of the earth or physical seed, and neither from the stars of heaven spiritual seed. You can't number either one of them. So Abraham, in you, all these are going to come forth. And since you're going to be a father of nations, you're going to have an offspring so numerous that they cannot be numbered. You're going to have a place to live. You're going to have a place, have to have a place for you and your offspring, because the offspring are counted in the blessing, right?
Yeah.
What God has promised Abraham is so is to his seed after him. What Brother Branham says, that's the quote from him. And so he's got this land that he says, I want you to walk through this land and I want you to check it out, because you're going to be father of nations. You're going to have all this offspring, and they need a place to live. They're going to have to have a land for you and your. And so I want you to walk through here, because this is what I have provided for you. This promise that I've given to you, that you'll have all these offspring, this is the land that I'm giving to you and for your offspring, as you have this promise of being a father of nations. This is what I provided for you. And so I believe that God was telling him, walk through the land, go from one end to the other, north, south, east, west, look at all this and go walk through it, because you need to know what belongs to you.
Right.
Right? You need to know what it is that I'm giving to you. So we know the scripture said that it is a land flowing with milk and honey. And I've said this many times, but if you really think about that, God is such a master at saying things just in the right way. And so he could have described all kinds of things, but he all broke it down into one sentence, one little phrase there that spelled out the whole thing, and that was, I'll bring you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Because you know that if it's flowing with milk, then there has to be either goats or cows to give milk.
Yeah.
Right? And in order for there to be cows to give milk, there has to be plenty of water for them to drink and plenty of grain or grass for them to eat.
Right.
Right? In order for there to be grass for them to eat and rain, then there has to be rain from heaven to provide the water, and rain to water the ground so that the crops can grow, the grass can grow. And it has to be a fertile land.
Yeah.
Right? And since you're going to have so many people, so many offspring that you can't even number them, this vast multitude is going to take quite a bit of milk and quite a bit of honey.
Yeah.
So there's going to be quite a few cattle, quite a lot of rain, a lot of territory, a lot of fertile ground.
Yeah.
Right? So it wasn't just, you know, it's just kind of like Brother Branham talked about. When we think about Moses smiting the rock, and in my mind, until I heard this, in my mind, I'm thinking of a little trickle coming out, or a little water hose coming out.
Yeah.
Really? Just a little? You think a water hose could water 2 million people and all their cattle and all that? You think that? No, that's not it. We think so little sometimes when we're talking about God, but yeah. When he smote that rock, it was a gusher. It was like a fire hose that come out of there, see? Out of a rock, which we know was a type of Christ, him being smitten and the living water coming from him that we could drink and not be thirsty. And so he's telling him, go search out this land, because this is where I'm going to provide for you everything that you need, that this promise that is coming to pass, you'll have it. You'll have everything that you need. A land flowing with milk and honey. And by the way, if there's honey, then there has to be bees.
Right.
Also, if there's going to be grass and all these things, it takes bees to pollinate it. And you can just go on and on to the nth degree describing what God meant when he said it'll be a land flowing with milk and honey. In one place he talked about, this will be a land that you do not have to water it with your foot. Think about that. We have all these places like out in the desert that they have to use man-made irrigation system and big ditches and use pumps and all kinds of things. What is it? Man has to water it with their foot. And so when man does all this work to try and water their foot, and then they go out there and live in it, but they're living off of the fact that they have to keep it irrigated themselves. And God said, I'm going to give you a place that you won't have to water it with your foot. In other words, and he goes on to say, but the rain and the dew from heaven will come down. God will water it. So what I'm going to get to here is that when God gives you a promise, he don't need anybody to prop it up, right? He doesn't need anybody to come along and try to make it better, change it in some way. When he's going to provide something for you, it's exactly what you need, and you don't need to change it. And it'll be exactly, and you don't need any more than that. What he provides is sufficient. You know what? I just realized, Brother Tim's song, my God will always be enough. Mm-hmm. Right? It'll always be enough.
Right? Mm-hmm.
See? So what he provides, so he's telling Abraham, go out here and check this land out. I want you to go out here and look at it because this is enough. Everything that I'm promising you fits together.
Right.
See? So if God calls you to do something, it'll match his word.
That's right.
Right? He calls you, say, oh, I'm in, you young people, oh, I'm in love with so-and-so. Are they a Christian?
Mm-hmm. Right.
See? Because what he calls you to do will always match his word. He'll never call you to do something different. If you say, well, I think I'm going to take a new job, or I'm wondering if I should take this new job. It's more money, but I won't be able to be in church.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And you're going to pray about that?
Right.
Really? God's already told you. He's already told you to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So you don't even, and I don't want to be harsh like that, but in things like this where, you know, you say, well, I want to pray about this job, don't even bother praying about it because you already know what God's answer is. And I'll tell you, if you want to be pushy and you want to shove with it, then you can push God to the degree that he gives you permissive will. And how many knows what happens when you get permissive will? You finally wind up getting spanked, right? Wound up in bad shape, and he finally gets you where you should have been in the first place, but look at the scars or the trouble and the trials that you've had.
Right.
See what I'm saying? So God will always match up what he's calling you to do or what he's providing for you. Will always match the rest of his word. So there's a lot of places and a lot of ways we can go with this. And so, we won't talk about it because that was actually thought of what I actually had for this morning, but it was how God has special men that he can give them permission to allow a certain thing because of a situation. So he's telling them to walk through this land, go out here, check it out. I want you to know exactly what belongs to you. You need to know that over on this valley over here, it's a certain type of soil and you can grow a certain thing. And off over here is a nice brook that can water. And back over here, some stones that you can use for whatever. God was just telling him, go check this out. I want you to know what belongs to you because you're going to need it. I'm providing for you and you're going to need these blessings that I'm giving to you. And so you need to know what they are. And so that's the portion of the title is to walk to your land. Walk through the land, find out. Find out what God has promised for you. And so then we find out that was a type of us being given promise, where he was given promised land. And remember, any time that he was outside of his promised land, he wasn't strong. He got in trouble. God would always help him out, but he was always in trouble when he's out of his promised land. So we find out that God has given us promises, the promise of the Holy Ghost. And you know, like I said a while ago, we don't need more than what God promises. You know, anything else, you don't need the Holy Ghost plus, right? He gives you everything. In the promise, he gives you everything that you need. So in this promise of the Holy Ghost, that is our promised land. That's the promise he's given to us. And in that experience, he provides everything that we'll ever have need of. You know that it is the Holy Spirit that reveals the word to you. So if you need to know something about the word, if you need the revelation of the seven seals, he'll send the messenger, he'll open the seals to do all that, but it's the Holy Ghost in you that quickens those things to you. See? So if you need to know something out of the word, if you need the Holy Spirit to wake you up in the middle of the night and have you pray for somebody, if you need, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So everything that you need in your experience to get you from here all the way to glory is in that experience of the Holy Ghost. That change, a new birth, a change of the life that's in you, it'll make you different. Don't worry. God's not asking you to quit this and quit that and quit something else. He's just saying, let me come in and I'll take care of it.
Uh-huh.
That's all he's asking you to do is surrender. And that's pretty easy. But yet it's the hardest thing.
Right.
Think about that. Easiest thing in the world to do, but the hardest thing to do is to surrender. But all you have to do is just let that experience of that promise of the Holy Ghost come in. Then he provides everything for you. So spiritually speaking, when he gives you the Holy Ghost, he gives you a land flowing with milk and honey.
Yeah.
Everything that you need is right there.
That's right.
Comfort, peace, guidance, revelation,
yeah.
Right? Zeal, whatever it is you need. That Holy Ghost, when it comes upon you, cannot endure something contrary to the Word. So like when the scripture said, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep and so forth. The Holy Ghost upon you will empower you to carry out the word. Right? He if we just walk in the presence of God, he'll tell you how to interact with your neighbors.
Yeah.
He'll tell you how when to be bold and when not to be bold and when to be full of joy to help or when to be sympathetic or whatever it might be. He will tell you how to do all those things because it's all lays within him. And so we have this promise of the Holy Ghost, and it's everything that we need. But it's not just for us. Remember, the promised land was for Abraham, but for Abraham's seed also.
Right?
And so the promise is not just to us, but it's also to our offspring. When I read in Isaiah chapter 65, this morning, and I'm just going to read it and talk about it as we go through it, and we'll do this. Let me see. I want to go verse 17 through 25 first, I believe. Yeah. And we'll come back to this. 65, verse 17 through 25. Now, obviously, this is talking about the millennium, okay? But you realize that the Holy Ghost in you is already in you, what we're fixing to talk about. You, when you have tasted of the Holy Ghost, when you have the Holy Ghost, you have tasted of the power of the world to come. See, right? And so you're already partakers of this life and this eternal life, this being, who eventually will set up on this earth a physical condition that matches what's already lying within your heart now.
Yeah.
Amen? So he's talking about this, and he says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. For the former things shall not be remembered nor come into mind. How could it if it was memories of sorrow and pain and things like that? But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. Who is the new Jerusalem? Bride of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
I rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice, now listen, we're acquainted with weeping. We're acquainted with sorrow and pain, pains in our body and pain when we see people make decisions that's going to destroy their life or give them a lot of trouble. We're associated with this. This is what we know. But he's talking about a place here. He said, and a joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Now this is New Jerusalem. This is the bride. So in the bride, there shall be no more weeping. Right? No more sorrow.
Yeah.
I'm not switching words around. The bride is New Jerusalem, and he's talking about it, and in her, right? So there shall be no more thence an infant of days. I'm going to break this down. No more child being born and then just in a few days passing away.
Right?
Nor an old man that has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses. This is talking about his people now. They shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. If you want to listen to a sermon to be good to go right with this, go listen to the sermon Brother Brandon preached. I think it's next to the last one, real close to the end, called Things That Are To Be. And you'll find out in there that when our bodies have changed and we're back on this earth, that we're not just sitting around doing nothing.
Right.
There's things that happen. There's things that we do. And this is talking about it here. They shall not build and another inhabit. In other words, build a house and then you pass away and somebody else comes to get it. Or you build it and then you lose it because of debt problems and they take it from you, right? This is not going to be taking place in this place we're talking about, or in this condition we're talking about. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people. You know how a tree lives? Hundreds of years. Okay, the days of my people. And mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Long time. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. So when you labor in vain, remember the curse that was given to Cain. The ground would not yield forth the strength to him, right? And so you're not going to just plant a garden and it be a failed crop. Or the deer come through and eat your crop up like they like to do mine. Even jump over a fence. They still like to do it. It's not going to happen there. Right? You're going to plant and you're going to enjoy it. So they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. They're not going to bring forth the fruits of their doings and then have some bunch of Philistines come through and take it from them.
Right.
That's not going to happen. They're not, and bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and, everybody read that? Their offspring with them. Amen? That's where I was going with this to begin with. This is promises to us and to our children. Right? And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. I've said this many times. I think I was at work one day, and I was I do a little bit of programming, and I had a problem. And this particular software that I use, it just so happened that the plant had hired someone, and that was their specialty or whatever, was a software programmer in this particular language. And I was having trouble, and I couldn't figure out what to do. I could not figure out how to fix this problem whatsoever. And I was sitting there, and the thought came to my mind, I need some help with this. And this guy's name was Steve Brooks. And I no more than thought it, I heard the door open in the room down at the end like that. And I turned and looked, and he come walking straight to me. And he was able to fix that. What? Before you even ask. I'll answer.
Right.
Right? Do you realize you can have that in your life all the time?
Yeah.
See, what I want to help you generate here this morning is high expectations for the God to do what he says.
Yeah.
High expectations in you, in your life. Like I said last week, if there's any thought that comes along and tells you that God will not do that for you or do what he's promised for you, whatever that, you cast that down. That imagination, you cast it to the side. It's an imagination. Cast it to the side. Every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Right? Put it in subjection to the Word of God. You realize this is a little rabbit trail, but do you realize that we are to be able, we are to possess the gate of our enemy?
Yeah.
Right? And I've said this many times before. If you possess the gate of your enemy, if your enemy is trying to put you inside his walls and lock you in and make you a prisoner, he can't do that if you possess his gate.
Right.
Do you realize in a city or in a jail cell or whatever, the weakest part is that gate?
Right?
Right? That's the weakest part because you got to let people, your people, in and out as they need to come and go. And so it's made to open and close. And because it's made to open and close, it's not as strong as the rest of the fortification that can't be breached easily, right? So it's where you gotta have this feature to allow for your people to come and go that's not enemy, it's part of you, but it's that kind of place
where the enemy will try to come in. Right? But if you possess control of that and you just, like Samson, just take the thing off and carry it up on a hill and set down, who's that enemy going to be able to keep in or keep out? He's not. So when you possess the gate of your enemy, you've got total control over his city and what he's trying to do. In other words, you're in control.
Yeah.
And so, as I said, you know, it's the places, it's the things. There's a couple of directions I'm going to go with this, but it's the things that we have to do daily. You know, we have to go to the store. We have to go to work. We have to do these things. That's part of it. But it's in those things that Satan wants to come in. So he wants to, it's through the going to work every day and making a living, or through going to the store, or through this or through that, that Satan wants to come in and slip something in right there. And a lot of times come in undercover. Right? Come in undercover. And where is this happening? It's at the gate. It's at the things. Because there's some things in our life that we just cut and dry. Satan can't touch it. Right? But then there's other things in our life that's a little bit weaker. That's a gate. And then, yeah, we have to do these things. But then Satan wants to come along and use that as a place to trip you up. Right? You young people go to school. You got to do that. You got to go to school. You got to be taught. Right? And so in that, there's a weakness. Because now you have friends and fellowship and things with all kinds of people that's not Bible believers. And a lot of times those relationships will trip you up. And you'll begin to like somebody you shouldn't like. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's through those things that those weak places, those gates. Now I'm going to say, I'll go back to this. This other route I want to go with this is this. Brother Branham said that you have an earthly home out here, and we contact this earthly home through touch, taste, see, smell, and hear. He said, now there's a spiritual home that you contact, spirit realm, and you contact that through imaginations, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. So now you're inside, and you have to go out to contact the world, and you go out, you're contacting through touch, taste, see, smell, and hear. Five gates. Right? And then through imagination, conscious, memories, and affection, five gates or inlets, he called them, but five gates to the spirit realm for you to go in and out, to interact with those outside the wall, to those that are in. And in here's supposed to be a safe place. In here's supposed to be a place where you're safe and protected and comfortable and no chance for enemy. But you got to come and go from time to time to do different things. And it's through those channels, through imagination, through conscience, through memory, through reason and affections. It's through those gates that Satan wants to use that gate to get in. To get into your experience. Right? And so same way, sometimes it's through the flesh. I'm going to tell you something. This is a blanket statement, but it's probably pretty much 100% accurate. As a Christian who wants to walk with God, if you can figure out a way to tell your flesh no, that's the way you need to go. Just about. I know you got to eat, but even there's times when you got to say no.
Right?
And most of us, or a lot of us, need to do that more. See? But it's through those things like that. And so when the flesh wants this, the flesh wants that, and you got to tell it no. And most of the time, you're better off if you just go that route. And if the flesh raises up and says, but I want, just say, shut up and sit down. Don't even listen to it. Keep it in subjection constantly. So these are gates that Satan wants to use, but you are to possess the gate of your enemy. And I want to ask you, who's your greatest enemy? Right there. So there's at least five gates to the flesh, but not just the flesh, but your imagination, conscience, memories, and affection. That's not your soul.
Right.
And remember, in your soul is either faith or doubt. It's either God or not God.
Right.
So that can't be changed. It can be quickened and made alive, but it can't be changed. What's laying there by predestination? But in your imagination, conscience, memory, reason, or affection, both righteous can come and go out of that, and wickedness can come in and out of that.
Yeah.
See? And so If it's not given over to God, then it has the same nature that's feeding, going through it as what your flesh is. And you are your world's worst enemy. So you are to possess the gates of your enemy. Right? You're to possess the gate. So you're to tell your flesh, no, you're not doing this. Only righteousness will come in and out of this gate. Right? And if you do that, that enemy will never be able to rise up against you. He'll never have fortification against you. He'll never be able to hold you because you hold his gates. Right? So you've got to tell your touch, taste, see, smell, and hear. You've got to tell your sight, brothers, what you can look at, what you can't look at. Sisters, well, brothers too, your tongue, what you say. You don't want to say things, and that's not one of the five senses, but it's an outlet. Things come out, right?
Right.
So, you understand what I'm saying. So, we go on to say here, he says, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Now remember, the rest of the church world, they don't know about all this stuff. But a vindicated prophet comes along and he tells us, first of all, scriptures tells us New Jerusalem is the bride. But he comes along and tells us it's a pyramid mountain. And she's on top of that mountain with him. And they shall not hurt nor destroy at all my mountain, my holy mountain. A holy mountain. Now, what am I trying to say here? We're talking about the bride. Okay? And in you, in the experience of the Holy Ghost, is that millennium we're talking about. It's already deposited in you and alive in you. It just has to be set up on this earth. But you've been given the responsibility to control your flesh so that your flesh acts out everything according to that millennium that's on the inside. Right? What's going to happen when the millennium actually sets on this earth? It's when the Spirit of Almighty God, His presence, comes down in such a way that He subdues all things in this earth that only righteousness could be. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when the Holy Ghost comes in you and subdues everything in you, in your flesh, or in your imagination or conscience that's not like Him, it subdues it. It's a millennium. So we are to be living and walking in a millennium already now. And what's in the midst of our experience, not weeping and crying, and I realize this is twofold, and like I said a while ago before service, sometimes you got things you're looking to come and it's already here, and sometimes we can declare there's no weeping and no crying, and yet we know we weep and cry because we're as Christians, we're fighting this battle, but you can understand to rightly divide the word of truth and realize that in our experience there should be joy. And even when we're before God weeping and crying for someone who we love, a child or a family member who's wayward, even when we're doing that, our heart has joy in us. See what I'm saying? You still have joy, you still have the peace of God, but yet you're crying out for someone else. So you can have both peace and comfort and all that and still be weeping before the Lord. You understand what I mean? So, but this experience should be in you, and this you should see this alive in you, and in you should be what we just said, what we just saw there. There should not be struggles like the lion and all the different things, tearing the beast and all this, and there won't be any kind of hurting or destroying or nothing like that in God's holy mountain, and that mountain is in you now. So this is for us and our children. So you find out that Israel, God gave this promise to Abraham, and then Abraham's seed later on came to the promised land, and they had to fight for every inch of ground that God had told Abraham, go take this land. I want you to walk through it. I want you to check it all out. This is all yours. This is for you. This is for your offspring, and this is what you need. And then the children of Israel came in later to possess that. And they had to fight and drive out. There were people in there that did not belong to them. God drove it from them. If there's wicked people, and God will drive wicked people out and let the righteous take over. This is what's going to happen. The saints shall judge the earth and take it over, Brother Rams. That's a quote from him, right? They'll take it over. And that's exactly what happens. So you, that's to come in you and take over everything. Everything of wickedness that was in you is supposed to be driven out, and he just takes over. And now righteousness is being lived out in you, in your members. And so Israel had to go into this promised land, and then they had to fight for every bit of that. Every little valley, every little brook. Because rest assured, there's always somebody out there who wants to come and take what's yours. What you've been working hard to do, or what God's given you, there's always somebody who wants to come get it.
That's right.
And destroy it. And take it away from him. It's a thief or a robber. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? But he came to give you life and give it more abundantly. So there's always somebody who wants to do that or something like that. Satan's always wanting to come in there. But Israel had to fight to drive the wicked out so they could possess it. So in order for Israel to possess everything God had said, this is yours, I give it to you, and you're going to need it. But you've got to fight for it. You got to drive out. And you know, when the children of Israel came out, then here was that great situation in Kadesh Barnea and all the things there, that there was only just a couple of guys that really had faith to say, you know what, we can take this. This belongs to us. Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them died in the wilderness because they couldn't. They couldn't quite grasp the fact that it doesn't matter how big these giants are. It doesn't matter how fortified they are. God is with us. And it doesn't matter if there's 10,000 of them and only two of us. We're going in and taking it. And that's the picture that the Bible, that was literally happened. But this is for you and I. This is for you and I to say, you know what? God has told me that I can possess these promises. He has told me that I can be healed. He's told me that my children will be saved. He's told me all these things. It's right there in his promises. He has told me all of this. I can have peace beyond of God that passes all understanding. He's told me all that. But you've got to be like Joshua and Caleb, and you got to say, you know what? Now I'm going to get it.
Right.
I'm going after that healing. I'm going after that child that's going to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, ready for rapture. Right? Satan wants to tell you, well, maybe they can be saved, but they won't go into rapture. No, not a hoof being left behind.
Right?
But here's the thing. What stands between us and that promise is the fight to go in and say, it belongs to me, he gave it to me, and I've come here to take it.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do. And we're too soft. That's what I'm realizing, is we are too soft in these things. There is a promised land that has been given to us. It's been shown to us that he can be just as real today as it ever was in any day. And we've got to make up our mind that we're going to have it.
Yeah.
We're going to have what God has told us. And so the wicked should not possess these things. And I'm not wishing bad stuff on bad people or nothing like that. But I tell you what I am saying. If they're in the way of us holding the promise of God and possessing it, not just be a professor, but be a possessor. If anyone or anything's in the way, then it has to go. And that means that if wicked people are inhabiting a place, this building, and God says, but it's for the righteous, then he'll make things come to pass to give it to the righteous. See what I'm saying?
Right.
And this is the same way in your life, that God gives to you these things, but you've got to fight for it. And sometimes it's your own loved ones that's in the way. Or your co-workers. But we've got to come to the place of desperation. Brother Ram talked about this. We have to come to desperation. And in those times of desperation, we do what we should have been doing all along. So we have to come to a place of desperation to realize that in the midst of God's people, these things ought not be that's plaguing and that's troubles. So because the Scriptures has declared that he's going to take these things from the wicked and give to the righteous. So I want to go ahead and go to Isaiah 65, verse 9 through 14. And this is just a little bit before what we was reading there just a moment ago. But you realize, before we get started, you realize Israel, all day long, he had to his hand stretched out for a gainsaying and a disobedient people.
Yeah.
Right? Israel, through the ages and through the years, they just constantly turned their back on God. And this is what he's talking about. So after they've done this, then he's going to raise up a new crop, a new people with a different name. That's what he talks about in here. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. He's talking about elect and servants. Now watch this. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in. For my people that have sought me. Who's going to get this place? The people who have sought after the Lord. Right? But ye that have forsaken the Lord. Now think about everybody that you know that's turned their back on God and what condition they're in or where they're headed now. And if you're thinking about turning your back on God, pay attention. Okay? Because God will not be mocked. His word will come to pass. But ye are they that have forsaken the Lord, that forgot my holy mountain. Remember the bride, the mountain? Forgot my holy mountain, that prepared a table for that troop, and that furnished a drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you with the sword, and ye shall bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. This is the people that left the Lord. He called them and told them to stop and surrender. They didn't. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Now, who's the servants? The ones who sought the Lord. The ones that didn't leave the Lord. But he's talking to those who did leave and turn their back and continually do things contrary to the word. This is what he's talking. He says, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Right? Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. Amen? Look at the difference.
Right.
He's declaring, in my holy mountain, they're going to eat.
Right.
They're going to drink. They're going to be full of joy.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that group, those that's walked away from me, mm-hmm. look where they're at. Vexation of spirit. See what I'm saying? And Satan wants inside your gates these things that this curses and stuff really belongs to the wicked. It's not ours. It doesn't belong to us. We are a people that's to be in victory 24/7. Doesn't mean you won't have trials. But when you possess the gate of your enemy, you know that no matter what comes your way, it cannot prosper because you have stayed with the word, stayed with the Lord. And that's what you do. So, you find out here who the groups are that are blessed and who aren't. And you realize that group there that he said, you'll be thirsty and you'll be hungry and you'll have vexation of spirit and all that, they're not on that mountain, because we done read a little bit later that in that mountain, there is no weeping and crying. They won't be there. Why? Because they walked away from the Lord. Now, bring this back to what we're talking about. God has given us this promise, and inside this promised land, these things belong to us, and they do not. I don't care if somebody out here in the world gets healed or something like that. That's not a problem for me. But they are not to be in my way or your way to keep you from possessing the promise of God. And when they are, you go out and you fight against them. You take it over. You take this promise. If you can find it in the Word, You take that promise before God, and you ask God to drive it out. And so you have to be standing there at your, you know, as a soldier fighting for what belongs to you.
Yeah.
So we must fight for the portion that belongs to us. So he said we could be healed. We got to fight for it.
Yeah.
Right? We have to contend for the faith that was once delivered.
Right.
We know if you listen to the sermon, Perfect Faith, you know that if perfect faith is in you, Brother Ram said, you won't even need to come into prayer line.
Right?
Right? You won't even have to. And there is a perfect faith for us.
Yeah.
There is a place that we're seeking after, that we're contending for. But in that place that we just have perfect faith and it's just a supernatural realm, takes care of it all. But between now and then, we press and we fight. And sometimes we have to be like Joshua and we have to enter into battle doing our post of duty, going out there fighting for what's ours. And sometimes it looks like the enemy that things doesn't seem to go your way in such a way that. And I'm talking about where Joshua was there fighting and the sun was about to go down. And he knew that if the sun went down and they couldn't, of course you keep fighting, you know, out on the battlefield at night. So he knew that if the sun went down, that his enemy would be able to regroup and regather together. And he would have to deal with it the next day. And the battle the next day would be so much harder than it is right now if we could just continue on, because we got the upper hand on the enemy now, and it looks like if we can't finish this, it's going to be hard. And so he was there in the call of duty, doing what God had called him to do. And when those circumstances rose, you know, he might have thought this: listen, God, I am out here on the battlefield. I'm doing what you told me to do. I'm out here fighting, and even natural nature circumstances is trying to work against me. Mm-hmm. And I'm out here, and you understand what he did. Inspiration struck him, and he called out to the sun. He said, sun, stand still, and moon over the valley of Ajalon. And it stayed that way. The sun stayed, and the moon stayed right there. And for about a day, Scripture said, and allowed him to continue to fight and destroy his enemy.
Right.
Now, the Scripture said there wasn't a time before that until then that God hearkened to the voice of a man. That a man, in his duty, call of duty, doing what God called him to do,
yeah,
knowing he's fighting, he's out here fighting against these spirits and these things that God tells, that he needs help.
Yeah.
Because these things, maybe his enemy's on the run or whatever. And so he turned, and even nature had to obey his voice. God honored that. Right? Sometimes we have to be like that. But the element that has to be in all of this that I'm talking about is the faith enough in your heart to go out there and fight. And sometimes you enter into the battlefield just doing just a general commission. I'm fighting against the spirits of this land. I'm putting up a standard against Laodicea. And sometimes you enter into that, and at some point, you reach a point where a supernatural intervention has to come.
Right.
And God does it. But it has to be a determination, a desperation in your heart and on your part to say, these things that God has told me, I'll have. And so, how are you going to know what belongs to you if you don't ever walk through the land?
Right.
I've said this many times before. If you don't read your Bible and see what the promises of God are, if you don't listen to the sermons,
right,
William Branham, if you don't listen to the preacher in your own church,
right,
what he's saying, how are you ever going to know what's yours? And I can guarantee you, not that I have to guarantee it, but I'm telling you, I just know how the enemy is. The day will come where you will need those things that your preachers have taught and what Brother Branham was saying and what's written in the Bible. You will need it.
Yeah.
Right? And so, we certainly want to pay attention to those things, but if you don't know what belongs to you, how are you ever going to fight for it?
Right.
You don't even know what to fight for.
Right.
I didn't know what to fight for. If you thought there was three gods, and well, I'll pray to the Father for this, for the Son for that, for the Holy Ghost for something else, that's confusion. Right? Didn't know. Well, which one's with? What would I mean? Who do I go to? See, it's nonsense. But through the Word, we know exactly what we should do, right? We know that it's the self same person. We don't have to go pray to this one and that one. That'd be like Brother Graham said, those guys wanted to baptize three times forward and argued with a group that wanted to baptize three times backwards. Three times forward, Father, Son, one for Father, one for Son, one for Holy Ghost. Three times backward, the other group was Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three times backwards. And one group says, well, when a man dies, he pitches forward. The other group says, well, when do you bury a man on his face? You bury him on his back. Nonsense. You see what I'm saying? But through the Word, through walking through the land and the Word, you know what you're to do. You know how to fight. And you know that when they come to you and tell you that you got to accept Trinity doctrine, you know right where to stand and fight. No questions about it.
Right.
So that's what we're talking about. You got to walk through that land. And then once you know what's yours according to the Word, then you put up a fight.
Right.
And you resist the devil steadfast and he will flee from you.
And
I know that in this time of sickness, we have people that's been sick and different things happening like that. That comes to mind a great deal as I'm saying these things that I'm saying. But he walked up Calvary for you. I didn't give this to her, but let's go to Isaiah 53, I believe it is. I'll have to find it real quick. Yes, Isaiah 53. We'll go there. We'll probably read down to from verse 1 all the way down to verse 5. Look at the price he paid. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I know you're familiar with this. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Did you know the Lord was not very handsome to look upon? And he was not a big man.
Right.
Weighed about 130 pounds. Had blue eyes. He said, Brother Tony, how can you say that? Because the prophet told us. Because God does have men that he commits things to. And it's through that ministry that we can know things that we wouldn't know otherwise. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Look at what happened on Calvary. Everybody turned from him. See? Surely he hath borne our griefs. He hath borne this. He hath carried our sorrows. You know why in that holy mountain there's not going to be grief and there's not going to be sorrows? Because he bore it on Calvary. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. This is what we see when we look upon him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. How many has ever transgressed? See what I mean? You know, it may seem petty, and I'm not saying it's necessary, but for me, sometimes I'll say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for my sins, my transgressions, my trespasses, my iniquity. You see what I'm saying? Because they're all of a different nature. But he bore all of it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. You know what iniquity is? When you know better and do it anyway. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace. You know what it is to be chastised? He was chastised that you could have peace. Think about that. A chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Just hold it right there. By stripes we are healed. So, all of our transgressions are taken care of, right? All of our iniquities are taken care of. We can have peace. How can you have peace if those things are hanging over you? You can have peace and we can be healed. Think about it. Okay, we can go on to the next one. Or
That is where it's at? Okay. So you see, this is what he paid for. This is the land that belongs to you. And so by no means should inside the church of the living God, by no means should we be starving. By no means. See, I was once young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Right? That's David said that. Okay? But in the midst of the church, there should never be starving and death, either physically or spiritually. Right? Never starving to death. Everything that we need to be in health and prosper, even in our soul prospers. These are the things the Word tells us. So as long as we're here, even if the squeeze comes down and puts us out of our church and out of our homes, even at that time in the midst of the church, there should be no hunger, no sorrow, no pain. You understand what I'm saying? And so I know we fight and all those things, but the promises are laying there for us, and we have to go after them and fight for them. And I feel like that we're coming to that time where that desperation Brother Brown talked about needs to drop into our heart. Because I'll say this, I don't mean this, and I'm not trying to condemn, I'm saying this to myself, okay, as well as anybody else, but why is Brother Miller still in that chair? Think about it. Should he be? You say, well, the will of God. Well, the will of God is that by his stripes we are healed. See? You say, Bill, but God may have a special purpose. Yeah, he might. But his special purpose, does it change his word? You see what I'm saying? So there's a level that we as Christians need to press to and take. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence. Violence taken by force. Well, you know what? Let's take back the kingdom of heaven by force. Not physical force, but faith. Because Brother Brown said faith has muscles and hair on its chest to rise up and make the enemy let go of those things that belong to us. Healing for our bodies, salvation for our children, or whatever it may be. If it's the promise of God, we can have it. If you want peace, you say, I don't have peace in my heart. That's a promise, and you can fight for that. You can stand your ground, and by faith, with great big muscles and hair on your chest, you can make the devil let go of those things so that you can have peace in your walk. Yeah. If you're a Christian, been Christian for very long, you've probably noticed times that an unsettled feeling comes over you, and you don't know why. Something, you just seem like something's trying to get you irritable, and you don't know why. Mm-hmm. Nothing's happened, you don't know, but for some reason, you see what I'm saying? Right. These are spiritual attacks, spiritual influences, Satan trying to come in there and use one of those gates. See, and so you just have to resist those things and make him flee. So Brother Miller is still there in his chair, in that chair, and as I was, had the prayer request, and I was wanting the church to pray about this Sister Joanna, Brother Tim Schultz's wife. You know, she has decided to let the doctors amputate her right leg. Now think about the battle that Sister's going through. Look at the battle that she has gone through. For her to get to the place where she feels like that's a better option than what she's had to put up with. You see what I mean? And it's times, it's things like this where the church of the living God should have big muscles and hair on their chest. Because this kind of stuff ought not to be resident in God's people. Right? Shouldn't be. Jesus, he healed. Do you ever find a case where he tried it and it didn't work? Think about it. And we are to come to the full stature of Christ, and she is him, Brother Rand says. She comes that she. So it may not be any kind of thing to the world, but in the midst, and all I'm trying to tell you this morning is to show you that we can fight for these things, and God give us victory for all of them. Sister Vicky, she's
She has issues. My wife has issues. When I say issues, medical things that they have to deal with. My wife does. All of us probably do, one or the other. But we can possess the gate of our enemy. We can have these promises that God has given to us. But the only thing that's standing between us and those things is the fact that you've got to stand pat on the Word of God and fight for it. So, what you do with your daily actions has a whole lot to do with what revelations in your heart. Amen? Because if you believe it, you'll act upon it. Right? And sometimes Satan gets us into a place where we believe the Word of God, but we don't act upon it. See? He holds us down to such a degree. But we want to believe God and believe by faith in it, and we don't walk by sight, by no means. When I pray and ask for a certain thing, I'm not trying to go by sight. I'm just putting it out there and believing that God will bring it to pass. And you know what? He brings it to pass. Sometimes we had to wait a little while. Just recently, praying on something several weeks ago. And just in the last day or two, I've still got it in my mind before the Lord, but then just in the last couple of days, here it comes. See what I mean? And God answers prayer and begins to move. And so it reminds me of the story Brother Brown would tell about the two women that was healed or prayed for in the prayer line. And I don't remember all the details. I didn't go look it up so I could rehearse it too, but you'll probably remember this. But they both went, and one sister, I think, had something wrong with her, a growth or something like that. But some time went by, 2-3 weeks or months. I don't know how long it was, but one day the sister had the growth. She got up, and it was gone. Searched all through her sheets and pillow. It's gone. She was rejoicing, and she was friends with the woman down the street who also was prayed for. And she went down there, and I forget what that woman had wrong with her. And when she went into that woman's house to tell about her situation, that thing being gone, right? She went in there, and that woman was rejoicing because she had been healed, right, or whatever it was her need was. And Brother Ram said, what was it? He said, the angel of the Lord passed through their neighborhood, right, and brought to pass. And that's what I'm saying. When you commit the thing to God, and when He sends that angel of the Lord through your neighborhood,
yep,
then you'll see with your eyes what you've believed for with your faith that you've put before God. And so we know that's the way it works, but we're not going to put God on any timeline or nothing like that. You say, well, maybe that's a situation for Brother Miller, but you know, there's a desperation, I feel like, that needs to come into the hearts of the people to say, you know what, in the midst of the church of Almighty God, these things should not have residence. Amen. If we're to be like Him, then we have to have high expectations that God will do in the midst of His church just what He did through Jesus Christ and what He's done through the ages, through the different ones, and through the ministry of William Branham. Amen. Do you believe?
Amen.
So how many wants to walk through your land, know what this Bible tells you, know what you can have, and then fight for it? Because that's the only way you're going to get it. Until He gives you body change, you've got to fight. And that's the only way you will possess healing for your body daily. Daily. To stand there and say, and I'll give you this advice too. And I, you know, when a preacher, he was give advice or whatever to his people, and Satan to say, yeah, you know, maybe time you come along, are you going to be able to do what you're telling them? And I trust that I can. But don't ever say, I've got it. If the doctor says this or that, don't say, I've got it. Don't accept it. Just say, the doctor says. This is what he says. But you know what? I don't find that in the scriptures. He says that I've got this, but the Bible doesn't tell me I've got it. The Bible doesn't tell me I have to keep it.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Bring every thought. I don't care where it comes from. Bring it into subjection to the Word of God. I was listening to a brother, just a short clip of a brother the other day. He said, the doctor comes along and says, you got cancer. And he said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with it now? He said, the doctor tells you, you got a crab in you. because cancer is a crab, right? He said, so the doctor tells you you've got a crab in you. And he said, now, before you went to the doctor and he told you that, you were convinced that you had a lion in you, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He said, so now you go to the doctor. The doctor says you've got a crab in you. He said, okay, so now you've got the lion of the tribe of Judah. You've got the lion in you, and you've got the crab in you. And he said, let them fight. Who you think's going to win? Poor crab. See what I mean? So you have this. You have to go this fight. You have to have that fight of Satan trying to put something on you, but you've got something else in you that's stronger. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen? So just let the lion of the tribe of Judah go after that thing and tear it to pieces. And he is the word. Amen? Kind of reminds me of the black dog, white dog, you know? We want the lion of the tribe of Judah to win. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being attentive to the word this morning. Thank the Lord for just being with us today. Let the musicians come up. Amen. So we got heat in the building now. Armageddon has smitten the termites. We've got that taken care of. So we're going to start knocking out some things here, around here, if the Lord help us. So we thank the Lord for that. Just continue for you. Ask that you continue to pray over the situation. And I'd like right now for all of us to join together. And I want to pray for Sister Joanna. So God's still God. He's still a healer. He's still a miracle worker. And I don't see any reason. I realize that God can, but I see no reason why that sister has to go through what she does tomorrow. And I know people elsewhere is praying. But when there's somebody that you're associated with and they're going through something, I believe we have a responsibility as Christians to go before God on behalf of that person. And I think that, you know, someone can touch God for our sister. Amen. So let's just bow our hearts and pray as we close the service. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, because we realize that in our midst is the one who created heaven and earth, and the one who has spoken us into being, and certainly has the understanding of wisdom and put that into the spoken word as it comes forth to create our bodies and create our makeup and our nature and the things that we just. Lord, so we're glad as we speak to you now, knowing that we stand before the Creator of heaven and earth, and the one who understands us and knows that we are but dust in our flesh and in our weaknesses, but yet God that has placed within our hearts the same life that created this universe and created things and brought it into existence. We thank you, Lord, because we know we have that kind of petition with you. We stand as your people, a blood-washed people, a people whose sins and iniquities and all failures have been pushed to the side and in the sea of your forgetfulness. And so God, as a people that's washed by your blood this morning, we want to thank you for the ministry of your word, the things that have been spoken out of your word this morning. We ask God that you'd let us lay them to our hearts, but God, that we would be a better people. And then Lord, as we get ready to come to the end of this service, we just want to talk to you just for a moment about Sister Joanna Show. Lord, as you've already heard me say, God, that I believe that in the midst of your church there should be things, the promises of God that are coming to pass, and that we should not have resident within us, Lord, things that the enemy would like for us to have and weapons that he would like to form to prosper. And we ask God now that you would just move on behalf of Sister Joanna and Brother Tim. God, that you would let the promises of your word of healing, God, and a miraculous move of God begin to work, that even today as she sits there in the hospital preparing for this tomorrow, God, that you begin to work and move in her own body, God, and to begin to change things so that there be a drastic change, Lord, that's visible, noticeable, God, that it would change the circumstances, and that she and the doctors would come to a different conclusion, not to go through with this surgery tomorrow, God, that healing would take place, And everything that has happened all these years, Lord, it would culminate in a complete divine healing and making right in her body those things, God, that you have spoken and put in there in the first place. We know that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy from our brother and sister, but God, you have come to give them life and give it more abundantly. And this congregation agrees in prayer right now and putting our faith together and asking God that you will go to that sister and go to that brother and you will miraculously change the situation. And God, that there would be praise in the midst of your people. We just ask God that you'd do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless each one as they go from this place today. And let their hearts be rich in faith. And Lord, as you drop within their hearts desperation for them to run to meet the enemy, Lord, we pray that you just meet them there and help them there on that battlefield like you did Joshua. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and worship the Lord just for a moment.
Oh,
happy to be a Christian.
Amen.
Amen. It's a battle, but it's a worthy battle.
Amen.
Everybody's got something they want to stand for. Everybody's got something they want to associate with, and you feel sorry for them. Amen. But we want to stand for righteousness, and we want to be associated with Jesus Christ, and regardless of what the world says. Amen. Glad to be a Christian. Amen. We'll just fish in the name of the Lord. Just also remember, I think 2 weeks from today, yesterday, that Brother Ben Norrod will be with us. Looking forward to that. Be Saturday night at 6 like normal, and then Sunday morning at 10:30. And Sunday afternoon, not sure what time yet, but we're going to get back over here in Sunday afternoon. And we did this once before, I think, but in communion at the time or whatever. But we got back over here, and we wanted to sing and worship. It's not going to be a preaching service that I have intentions to, but I wanted to give everybody a chance to come over and to the singers to sing, musicians to play, and just to worship the Lord in that fashion. Just a time of fellowship around worship and singing. And who knows, if Brother Ben decides he wants to preach a little bit, he can. But anyway, we won't set the time on that because it will hinge off of what? Lunchtime, how long it takes to get through with lunch and that sort of thing. And so we don't want it to be late in the afternoon because I want Brother Ben to be able to get on the road down the way as he would like. But we certainly want to keep that weekend in prayer. I know Brother Ben's been going through that situation there in the church where they were going to vote in pastor, and I know that was something that was on his mind, and he's probably relieved now that that's taken care of him. And so Brother David Siler was voted in as pastor. And so Brother Ben, as my wife said, and if he hears this, he can he can get on to her, but I kind of agree with her. Brother Ben's pretty much a blessing for a lot of churches out there as he gets to come around and visit, so it kind of seems like that's the will of the Lord, at least for now, for him to continue on in that way. And I know he's like the rest of us. He wants to be in the perfect will of God, and if God didn't want him where, you know, in that position, then he certainly wouldn't want to be there. So God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.